Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Eric Bickle, running the three-man show this week. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Chris Carino, is the play-by-play voice for the Brooklyn Nets, host on CBS Sports Radio. And I think you've been calling Nets games how long? 20 years?
This will be my 22nd season coming
22
up.
22 years calling
it's
Nets.
It's hard to believe because I'm only like 35. So
right?
Figure that all out.
What's like the... All right, so a lot of expectations the last few years when you pair up KD and Kyrie. But you guys have been down that road before when you had, you know, KG and Pierce and it didn't work out there. What's like the glory years? If you have to think, like, what was the most fun you had during your years calling Nets?
It's the first two. The first 2 years I did it, yeah. I got to go to take the ride all the way to the NBA Finals with Jason Kidd. So okay. It's not even close. I mean, right. Those were amazing, those two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Would you compare?
And then this was not the Pierce Garnett thing. The difference with that was like, that I think we all knew going in. Like, these guys, do they have anything left? Like, maybe, I think we kind of rationalized it. Like, yeah, you know what? Like, the main guys still are going to be Deron Williams and Joe Johnson and Brooke Lopez. But KG and Paul Pierce, they're going to be the vets to come in and take us over the top. And they just weren't that. So, and then this whole KG this whole KD and Kyrie thing, I think it was like, great, like, this is it. Like, these guys are the deal. Everybody in the league would do this, but we got to wait through KD's injury, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden we get all these things that we could never foresee, the social unrest, the COVID. Like, so I don't think it's as big as, like, a bust. The KG-Pierce thing was that nothing compares to that in terms of disappointment and bust, but this story is still being written now.
What was your reaction to Irving coming to Brooklyn in the 2019 season? I remember his debut with you guys. Did he have 50 in the debut for the Nets?
He did.
Yeah,
he had 50 in a game against Minnesota, but they lost the game.
Okay.
What
was your reaction just as a basketball fan, them bringing in Kyrie?
Well, I mean, listen. I'm on with the Junkies now, so I can be vulnerable and open. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a safe space.
Say what you feel.
Yes. I remember the day that the moment it was announced that they were signing with the Nets. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, again, I have 2 decades of history with this team. Over three. I go back. I mean, I was part time in '92 with this team.
Well, yeah, you grew up in Jersey, right?
I grew up in New York, but I live in New Jersey now. Uh-huh. But, I go back to when Chuck Daly was the head coach of this team with Drazen Petrovic and that crew and Derek Coleman and Kenny Anderson. I've got a history. I've been around it a long time. I know a lot of great people, and it's always been an organization that was good to me. And then all of a sudden, I found out that day that Kevin Durant was going to make his announcement right at the start of free agency, 6 o'clock that day. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to my wife, like, he's coming.
Right.
And she's like, how do you know that? I go, well, because he's not even, like, doing the whole tour. He's made up his mind, and we already know that Kyrie is more than likely coming, so he's coming. And it wasn't really so much Kyrie, it was Durant.
Right.
And I think that's the only thing you got to remember. It was the means to the end. It was Kyrie brought Durant. But suddenly it was like relevant. It was like everything that had been the Nets had worked for to make their organization relevant. They moved to Brooklyn, this beautiful facility, incredible talent at the top in terms of management and ownership. And finally somebody was noticing. And it was the first time somebody was choosing the Nets. And I got emotional. Uh-huh. I got a little choked up. I was like, it's happening. Like, somebody finally sees it. And the best player in the game right now is coming.
Yeah.
And it was so this has been a little bit of a disappointment in the sense that it hasn't really fulfilled itself. But, you know, we'll see. Again, I still don't think it's over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to talk about it. So, you know, there are all these rumors, and we'll talk to you about it, about Kyrie maybe wanting to leave, and now the latest is maybe Kevin Durant is distancing himself from the organization. But going back to the playoff series against the Celtics, which was a first-round series, and they got swept. So from the outside, you're thinking, man, they just couldn't hang with the Celtics. They got swept. Every one of those games was close. Every one of those games, it was right there. What happened?
Thank you. I mean, that's kind of the narrative. And it's funny because I sat down right before the start of the series with Sean Grandy, the radio voice of the Celtics, and we were just having a conversation. And, you know, he goes, if anybody thinks they know what's going to happen in this series, they don't know what they're talking about. And I said, I totally agree. Like, I have no idea what to expect. And I said, you know, this could be a 4 or 5 game series and still be competitive. And it happened. Like, the first game, Kyrie has an incredible fourth quarter. I think he had 18 in the fourth quarter, and they had the game, and they lose at the buzzer on a great play. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if they don't lose that game, if Marcus Smart makes that pass, I didn't think he had time, finds Tatum, gets a layup. If that comes a half second late, that's a different series. Then the next game, they're up, what, 16? I mean, you know, they have a double-digit lead in the second half, and they blow that lead. So, again, 2 games in Boston they could have easily won against a team that I thought was going to win it all after that series and probably could have won it all up 2-1 against Golden State with a game at home. The 2 games at home it, for the Nets, I mean, every game was a 1 or 2 possession game late in the fourth quarter. So, But listen, I do think for the Nets, it was almost a good thing. It's like, all right, you know what? Now you have to acknowledge the bigger issues going on here. If you had won it, or you lost the 7-game series, or you'd won and then lost to Milwaukee, everybody would be like, oh, they're so close again. You know, like the year before, oh, it was a toe on the line. There are bigger issues here, including this, including what you're seeing right now, you know, and dealing with the Kyrie Irving situation. And maybe a sweep was something that was like a you know, bucket of cold water to the face.
Huh. Going back to that sweep, the one thing that I remember, because I'm a huge KD fan, is he was a little off in that series. And I just looked at the numbers. He only shot 39% from the field. Was it a situation where Boston does have a great defense, where Boston somehow affected him, or he was just off? What happened to KD in that series?
I think there's a few things. I think it is credit to Boston and what they're able to do because, you know, they just are a big team that switches everything, and the Nets didn't run an offense like Golden State that could kind of, you know, maneuver around it as well. So it was a lot of isolation, and KD was getting this kitchen sink thrown at him in that series. The other part of it is, and it goes back to a bigger issue, is their lack of success in the second half of the regular season forced them to now be in a position late in the year where they had to scratch and claw and fight to just get in.
Yeah.
And they end up being in the play-in. And to do that, Kevin Durant had to play a lot. I mean, he was playing 40 minutes. Some nights he's into the low 40s just to win games and get themselves in a position to get in the playoffs. And I do think he wore down a little bit. You know, you got to remember, he's getting into his early 30s, and he says that, you know, he always wants to play. He never wants to come out of a game. But you do have to make sure you preserve him a little bit more. And the Nets need to preserve some of their stars a little bit more in the regular season. So that, I think, also contributed to that. And then the other part of it is they just didn't – without Joe Harris, and then, you know, remember Seth Curry was a huge pickup for them, and he gets hurt to a point where he probably would have been playing if it wasn't the playoffs.
Right.
He ends up getting surgery on his ankle in the offseason. They just didn't have enough shooting. And when you don't have that shooting, you can load up on Durant. So all those factors, I think, really worked themselves into why Durant did not have a Kevin Durant-like series against the Celtics.
So
it's the first time. I always say, it always looks so easy for Kevin Durant. It just didn't look easy against the Celtics.
Right. So talk about just the you know, the personalities, and just talk about Steve Nash, because now Nash has been dealing with KD, Kyrie, mm-hmm. Harden, and now he's got Simmons. And this is his. Mm-hmm. This is Nash's third year, correct?
If Simmons can ever get on the court.
Yeah. Has he been 3 years or 4 years, Steve?
This is going to be his third year.
Okay, so this is third year, and he's dealing with all these different crazy personalities. And Kyrie not playing because of the vaccine, and he played like 30 games. KD's injury, and you know, KD's he could be a specimen too. But now he's got to deal with Ben Simmons. Is Steve mm-hmm. Nash? I feel bad for Nash because he's dealing with all these nightmares. Is he the right guy to control these guys, because the coach has to control the personalities a lot like, you know, the great coaches of the past have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the thing is, Steve Nash was brought in because he has the pedigree of being an MVP in this league, who has great respect of all the players that have come before and are there now. And so he has that gravitas of being able to relate to stars. I mean, that's the reason he was brought in, you know, along the fact that Sean Marks, who was a teammate of his and a friend of his, that just sees something in him, knows how well he sees the game, but, you know, also how well he relates to people. So that's his strength.
Mm-hmm.
And
but sometimes, Chris, that coach, that guy who can relate, has to tell the player what the player really doesn't want to hear.
Well, yeah, I think you also look at it from a standpoint of Steve Nash knows what it's like to be that player, mm-hmm. and there's a few things here. I mean, one thing is it's hard to people want to judge him against some of the great tacticians in the game, and it's not fair. He's never coached, and now you could say, well, that's a fault of management to give a guy a job where he's never done it.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw something in Steve Nash that said, hey, we're going to be a little, you know, I hate the term, but it's a little outside the box here and get a guy that is going to be able to relate to our stars, because they really felt like the success of this team is going to be managing its stars and its egos. Now, one of the things I do think could be, and also to this, because of injuries and COVID, I mean, they used like 40 different starting lineups in each of the first 2 years. They set franchise records. So you've always had guys in and out of the lineup. It's hard to have a rotation. It's hard to get any kind of consistency, which they think is important. Now, all that said, the problem is Kyrie Irving's not around as much. Huh. And I don't know what a vocal leader he is. Kevin Durant is not a vocal leader. He's kind of like a chill guy that just goes out and lets his play do the talking. Now, I was around Jason Kidd. He was kind of a quiet guy, too, but he wasn't like, I don't know, there was just something about he didn't need to say things.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little different. And then you get Steve Nash, who's kind of chill, too. So I think one of the criticisms of this team, and I think it's valid, is that they don't have that kind of get-in-your-face guy. And I think that That was a problem. And I think it's a problem going forward. Not that you need a Kevin Garnett, but there's got to be somebody that can hold the Stars accountable. And if it's not going to be the coach, maybe it needs to be a veteran player. And sometimes you take on the personality of your coach. And if you're, you know, Steve Nash is a really chill, nice guy, right? But, you know, when he was a player, there was nobody tougher. And I don't know if they have that. There's sort of a leadership void and even a bit of a toughness void with this team that I think you need to be a championship group. So we'll see if they're able to address that, you know, in the off season.
Do you think Kyrie is back?
You know, I said this yesterday on my show that I think the cooler heads need to prevail here. And what I mean is Kyrie is kind of taking it as a slight, and you got to understand that it's business. And you got to realistically look at yourself in the mirror and go, hey, they don't want to give me a long-term deal. Why is that? And really do some self-evaluation and go, hey, you know what? The reality is I get it. They don't, in my mind, I've had a valid reason for missing all these games in the last few years, but I get it. So you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to take my $37 million option. I'm going to play this year, and I'm going to show you what we're going to do. Like, he likes living in this area. His family is here. You know, all his extended family, he lives in West Orange, New Jersey. He grew up a Net fan. All these things that he signed for didn't change. He also, you know, he believes in a lot of social justice and righteous causes. Nets ownership, Josai, Clarisai, they have been on the right side of all that. They have been on his side throughout all of that. They let Barclays Center be used as a town center for protesting. They have started a foundation for minority businesses in Brooklyn and New York. They have started another foundation about social justice. Clarisai has been about, you know, prison reform and things like that. Like, all these things, like, Kyrie has owners that care about the things that he supposedly really does care about. Now, they disagreed on the vaccination, but for the most part, Kyrie should really look at the situation and go, this is the perfect place for me. And I knew that 3 years ago. And nothing has changed except the fact that they're not willing to give me a long-term contract. And I have to realize, why is that? And understand their view and go, okay. I mean, Kyrie has always been about expressing his views. Well, they're expressing their view on this with you. So to me, when cooler heads prevail and you stop taking it so personally about the contract, realize, all right, I'm in the spot I wanted to be in. I'm in an owner with owners that really care about the things I care about. I'm going to be able to play with my friend Kevin.
It's too reasonable, like, Chris. That's a reasonable approach. Too logical and reasonable. Hey, we got to run, man. Really appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
It's Chris Carino, play-by-play announcer for the Brooklyn Nets, CBS Sports Radio host, also does some work for the New York Giants. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.